Would everybody please rise this morning for our reading of Scripture? This morning's Scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 15 through 21, and the words will be on the screen for you to follow along. Christ died for everyone. He died so that those who should not live for themselves anymore. They should live for Christ. He died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ in that way, but we don't anymore. When anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross, and he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. So that we are Christ's official messengers, it is as if God were making his appeal through us. Here is what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Come back to God. Christ didn't have any sin, but God made him become sin for us. So we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. This is the reading of the word for Jesus Christ. Praise be to God.
You may be seated, but you guys knew that already. I just saw you do that. Happy Easter again. Last Easter Sunday was a great day of celebration. I'm thankful and just blessed for those that you were able to worship online or on site here with us. And we shared a lot of good news last week. We shared synopsis of the empty tomb narratives of all four Gospels, plus one that was put on by some happy kids on a video that somehow told the Easter story with the Easter bunny in it. Go figure. But we heard some especially good news from the Apostle Paul, church builder Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, when he expressed himself and his understanding of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul shared some really good news, great news, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. Do you have that on your heart? If you don't, you can write that down on the back of that big old worship guide that you have. We have sermon notes there. You can even draw pictures if you'd like to. But that's important to know. That is great news, and we want to share that great news, don't we? That's great news that I encouraged us all to share last week with the way that we live our lives and the way that we share our own story. And you know, that encouragement is purely in line with our mission as a church. Do you all remember our mission? If you don't, that's on the front part of your worship guide. And for those at home, you've got that online as well. But on that front part, it says that our mission is to make new followers for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. And we have a vision for how we want to make those new followers for Jesus. And that is to connect people to Jesus, to connect believers in growing commitment in their faith, to connect outwardly to our community and world, both individually and as a church. I always like to think that connecting believers to growing connection and connecting outwardly to our world and our community as well is really a living out of that very first part of our vision, which is to connect people to Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good news that we are to connect people, amen? But that question comes up, how are we supposed to do the connecting? Because I think that we're a little apprehensive of what it means to connect with people and in Jesus Christ, to connect people to Jesus. Maybe some of us have tried to do that before. Maybe there was a time in our past where we were excited about what Jesus was doing in our lives, and we came up to somebody, maybe even a total stranger, and said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. And then, awkward, probably wasn't as well received as we had hoped. Or maybe we had lived our lives a certain way, hoping that people would notice how we would live, that they would know that we were Christ followers by our love, but it didn't catch on. Several years ago, many years ago actually, in last century, Asbury United Methodist Church in Springfield, Missouri, decided to throw a big neighborhood block party. So we're going to have outdoor barbecue. We were going to have blues bands that we had contracted with. This wasn't going to be a praise team. This actually, we were getting some outside blues bands. This was just going to be a good old-fashioned party. There were going to be games. There's going to be dancing. It was all outside. We were so excited. And we wanted to invite all of our neighbors to come to this block party. It wasn't for us. It was for them. So what we did is we decided, well, let's go and personally give an invitation to our neighbors. We got a flyer together, and I was youth director at the time at Asbury, so I got a group of youth, but we had a bunch of folk, and we went out into the neighborhood. We spread out, and we went door to door. And boy, wouldn't I love to tell you that, man, people just took that flyer, and we just had the biggest block party ever. Woo-hoo! But more often than not, we would come up, and people would open the door, and their first words were, "I don't want any." And we said, "Invitation, don't want it, slam." And we went, "Oh." And other times we'd come up to a door, and we knew the people were there because we heard them. But we knocked, we rang the doorbell, and nobody came. So what we discerned is something that we really do all know, is that people are very suspicious of when followers of Jesus Christ want to invite them to anything or even to share their faith out in the world out there. And the reason why is because there's a perception that when we want to connect with people, we're not really wanting to connect. We are wanting to dun, 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 convert them against their will. I have felt that way before I came back to church. It plays into the same feeling you have if you hear a knock or ring on the doorbell at your home and you look out and you see, you know, somebody with some watchtower in their hand or something like that. Well-meaning people wanting to share Jesus, but you don't open the door. No, you go and hide in a room where nobody will see that you're home, right? Just like people did when we went with flyers. Let's face it, there's an awkwardness, there's a perception out there that when Christians are wanting to connect with people, that it's all just something to convert people, and it's treating people as though they weren't really people, but projects. You know what I'm talking about? And so it's not authentic, it doesn't seem real, and so they shy away from that. Now, in all the awkwardness of our conversations we have, maybe a failure we've had to reach out to other people, it may seem that trying to connect with people, especially connecting people to Jesus, would seem really difficult. It would seem like mission impossible, right? Well, here's good news. It is possible to connect with other people and to connect them with Jesus. It is mission possible because we can be a part of what God does in this world, and that is to bless others. Amen? Just like what Lori was talking about in her children's time, we can be a part of that blessing because God has blessed us, and God has given everything that we need so that we can bless others. Now, I want to take us on a tour of blessing in the biblical timeline. I love how the Holy Spirit works because, you know, Lori, I was right there. So, I want to share with you Genesis 12, 1-3 as well. She had talked about Father Abraham. And I just want to say that's a special scripture to me. You know why? That's the very first scripture that I shared with you on my very first time here. Way back. In June of 2014, some of you are going, "God, you have been here a long time, Kevin." But I want to share this with you again, because you can never share too much scripture. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you, bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many times is blessed talked about there? Well, it's a good holy number, five. Five blessings that are part of this calling of this Mesopotamian man and his wife, of Abram and Sarai. Now, I want to let you know this is a twofold mission here. It's very important to know. He says, go from your country. Go and bless. Go and bless. See, one of the writers of the book that Lori had earlier, the Bless book, Dave Ferguson once said, when you're on a mission from God, you don't stay put. You got to go. And that's true with Abraham here. He was to go and to bless others. And wherever he went, the people that he met, Abram was to bless. And by the way, in living that out, Abram does become Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah because, man, they had a lot of adventures that transformed them in the going and the blessing. And it wasn't always easy, but they were faithful to that. They went and they blessed. But I want to tell you that it's not Abram or Abraham who went and say, I bless thee. No, it was God. God who blessed Abraham, who blessed Sarah, so that they could bless others. God's blessing. Can you see that? God's blessing. And so Abraham was the model of going and blessing, as was his wife Sarah. I don't think he could do it necessarily without her. God put them together for a reason. Now you go 1,000 years or so, and yes, you come to Jesus Christ, who is all about the going and blessing. Jesus blessed every place that he went to. He blessed everyone that he met. Jesus taught about blessing. You remember the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's a powerful teaching, the most famous teaching probably that people know Jesus for, from Matthew 5. But Jesus blessed everyone of every generation. From the Gospel of Mark, we hear about people bringing their children to Jesus so that he would bless them. Then he hugged them and blessed them when they came. But Jesus also, there's a beautiful story where you could see the power of a blessing on someone's life. We find this in Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. He was a wee little man in my Bible. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he's gone to be the guest of one who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Here's Jesus, and what's he doing? He's not coming to Jericho to stay. No, he is passing through it. He has other places to be. But someone who is lost needs Jesus. So Jesus stops and he says, I am going to come to your house and I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to be a part of who you are. And that changed everything for Zacchaeus. Can you see that? He was blessing Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and tax collector cheated people all the time. Even if they didn't, they did. You know what I mean? This was who Zacchaeus was. This is how everybody knew him. They would mock at him. They would spit at him. He was not really considered a child of Abraham. He was on the outside. But Jesus said, nope, I'm gonna come and we're gonna have a meal together. Now Zacchaeus was on the inside. And Zacchaeus is transformed just immediately, just because Jesus came to his house. Just because of that, just because of Jesus' presence. Look at how he changed. He goes, okay, I'm going to give half of everything to the poor, and I'm going to pay back four times if I defrauded. Notice he didn't quite come out and say, I defrauded people. I think that's important to know. He's still kind of hanging on maybe a little bit of, I don't know, denial. But he said, if I did, then I'm going to pay back people four times. He is a new man. And so Jesus says, today, right now, immediately, not tomorrow, not in the future, not when he reads more of Scripture, not when he thinks he's a better person, today, right now, where he is a child of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus was blessed, and he was blessed to be a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Jesus was blessed to be a blessing. Zacchaeus was blessed to be a blessing. And you and I, friends, and all of you online, we too are blessed to be a blessing. And it's not the blessing that we do on our own power, but it's because God has blessed each of us, and that blessing comes through us so that that blessing gets spread. God's blessing goes out to others. It is just like the scripture that Ellen shared with us earlier, and I'm just going to share a snippet of it. When anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross, and he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. So, we are Christ's official messengers. It's as if God were making his appeal through us. Here's what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Come back to God. That's a call that Paul is sharing from God to the Corinthian community, but that's a call also to us, that we are blessed to be a blessing. You know, most of us are here in this place and worshiping online because God has blessed us and someone else has blessed us as well. Someone has connected us with Jesus by blessing us. I wouldn't be a United Methodist pastor. I wouldn't be a United Methodist had it not been for my sister. That's the family member I'm going to talk about today. Maybe should have warned my sister, Judy. But she's the reason why I joined this wonderful faith tribe known as United Methodism. For you see, Tammy and I had returned from adventures in Texas. We came back to our hometown of Springfield, Missouri, and we were church shopping, trying to find the right church. And we went to several, and we were just, this man especially was not really open. So my sister invited our twin boys to hang out with their cousins at a children's program called Kids Praise. And so they did. They had a good time. Those cousins are really close. And so they had a good time, and Tammy and I would go to see the kids' praise shows. And then after a certain amount of time, we started going to church, sitting in the back row. I love all you back row folks. I'm thinking in Asbury, I have my name notched back there somewhere. But I was there for many years, and then things started to break open. And I've shared with you my story and how in that church many times before. But what I haven't shared with you in all this time is how my sister, Judy, was a part of that. Because what my sister, Judy, did was something really cool. You see, she shared Jesus with me. She blessed me simply in the conversations that we had. This was all outside of church. It was that Judy allowed me to share my experiences with church. The first thing that my sister did was that she would listen to me without judgment. Now you might think, well, sisters do that. Nuh-uh. But when it came to faith, that is what Judy did. She would listen to me if I came up with something outlandish. You know, I mean, I just tried all sorts of crazy things. That book of Ezekiel, I think that's about a UFO landing. Yeah, what do you think of that? She would just look at me, almost felt like she was wanting to pat me on the top of the head. But she let me talk. And not only that, she allowed me to make my own conclusions about what I believed. She didn't try to force anything on me. When I started to take a Bible study for the first time in my life, I had all sorts of questions. And we talked about it in that Bible study. It was a disciple Bible study. But what was so awesome is I could talk to my sister about that, and she would listen to me. And she wouldn't tell me, well, this is what you should think about this. She let me come to that conclusion. Sometimes I would share things that were really strange, and she would just kind of have this wry smile she would share with me. But eventually, what my sister did is that she would share her story and her understanding as well. Now, I lived with my sister for many years as family before we all broke out and apart. But we had never, as adults, explored faith together. And this is what she did. She listened to me without judgment. She allowed me to draw my own conclusions. And then she shared her Jesus story with me. According to Barna Research, those are the top three ways that people who are seeking that you can really build relationships with people and share your faith with them. And she did that. It was amazing. Friends, how do we connect people to Jesus through blessing them? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about in the next 5 weeks. And we're going to be talking about it in a way of how we do spiritual practices, active spiritual practices, not just with practices alone between us and God, but with others. And it involves bless as an acrostic. Each letter of bless stands for something. So each letter we will talk about each week. We're going to start next week with B, which is begin with prayer. Okay? So B, begin with prayer, is because followers of Jesus, that's what you should do with everything, right? How are you going to know what God is going to tell you unless you pray to God? Now, some of you are saying, well, God can, like, you know, strike lightning bolts and all that stuff. Prayer. That's where God can give you your mission. God can share with you on your heart, this is who you should connect with, by blessing them. So we'll talk more about that next week. The second week, we are going to be talking about listen. That's what L is for, listen. And what that means is that we are going to really be talking about what it really means to listen. It says, you know, some have said that listening is the purest form of love. Right? The purest act that you can do in love. Unfortunately for us Christ followers, we're known more for our talk than we are for our listening to other people. But how can we get to know others unless we listen? E, the the third week. It's eat. Yeah. That is a great spiritual practice, amen? We all love to eat, but it's the power of a shared meal that is really, really special. That's something that in this year of COVID that we missed is being able to come together to eat. But friends, we're going to be talking about ways that we can do that, whether it's in small groups or with people where we can connect. Because when we eat together, that's where barriers get broken down and relationships can develop. The fourth week, we're going to be talking about serving. That's what the first S is about, serving. Now, many times we think, well, to serve others means that we need to be a part of going out and being part of a program and to serve strangers that are out there. And that is a beautiful thing. But friends, the one thing that we need to know is we serve the people that we know and love, that we're connecting to Jesus. And we do that as we're getting to know them, so that we really know what it means to serve them, not to serve on them, which too often happens, right? I'm going to help you based on what I think, instead of knowing them and saying, this is what your heart is crying out for, and I want to help serve you. And the last S in bless is story. Yes. This is where we're going to talk about how we share that resurrection hope that I talked about last Sunday on Easter. Where we're going to talk about what it means to, after we have gotten to know somebody and they know us, after they trust, then that's when we're free to share our story. And God will let us know when that time is. Friends, that is going to be our exploration within the next several weeks of what it means to be blessed to be a blessing. So I want to invite you to come back every week to learn more, or to worship online to learn more about what is going on and how we are to bless others. For you see, God loves us so much that God gave us his son Jesus Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and is resurrected for us. And that is news that we need to share. And we are called to connect people to Jesus. Part of that is inviting people to church. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind necessarily. And I don't think that's what the early Christians had in mind. Somehow we are supposed to connect people to Jesus. If I was to come up and ask you individually, who have you connected to Jesus? Would you be able to tell me? Even one person in a year? I'm a pastor. And I could say, oh, look at all the people in church. But you're already connected. You see, us pastors are convicted by that too. Who have we built a relationship, a new relationship with? Somebody that we can bless. Well, this is going to be a journey that we're going to be on together. And I'm excited about it because guess what? In God's love, we can do this. Friends, this is Mission Possible. And all God's people said, amen.